Good evening. I would say this is, without a doubt, the biggest group of people that I have stood in front of to share my thoughts with. But I am very thankful that you're all here, because without your presence, this wouldn't be a meeting. And as I wait for my laptop to boot up, I also want to thank the Murray Road congregation for inviting me to speak and for all the work that they have put in to put on this meeting. And the subject of my thoughts this evening have to do with gentleness. And I picked and was assigned gentleness, thinking it was going to be an easy topic. As I sat down to begin this few minutes, I realize that it's not. It is not an easy subject. I don't think there is such a thing as an easy subject in the Bible. That's why the Word of God is powerful. Before I get into gentleness, I'd like to just read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I'd like to place some significance that the word is fruit and not fruits. Let's think about an apple. What is an apple? Well, an apple is the fruit of an apple tree. And what is an apple by nature? Well, an apple has skin, has meat, it has a core, it has seeds, it has a stem, and it has a fancy word called a clavic. I might not be saying that correctly, but it's the little leafy thing on the bottom. Though the apple is one thing, it is made of several things. And I think that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It is one fruit that has many different components. And this is significant because as I started to look at gentleness, it's hard to talk about gentleness without mentioning some of the other parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Without love, gentleness means nothing. Without kindness, gentleness is impossible. Without patience, gentleness is not gentle. So, just as faith without works is dead, gentleness is nothing without the other parts of the fruit of the Spirit. And when I got to this point, that got me out of the stuck mindset of the blank document in front of me. But where do I go from there? What do I talk about with gentleness? And in talking with my parents, my dad gave me several helpful pointers. Do a word search. Search the word gentleness and read scriptures that have gentleness in it. And I did that, and there are a few thoughts, but nothing really stuck. And it was my mother who told me to meditate on the word gentleness. So my siblings and I sat down and did a very elementary version of meditation. We thought about just the word gentleness, things that are gentle, things that you're gentle with, whatever you think of when you think of the word gentle. And we just spent 5 minutes thinking about the word gentleness. From there, we wrote what our thoughts were on a piece of paper, and I'd like to share some of their thoughts with you. From my mother, she wrote, "Gentle rocking motions soothe a baby." Emerald wrote, "Use a gentle voice when talking with children, when talking to comfort, when talking to calm, and when correcting. Silas wrote, "A good way to approach things in life." He also wrote, "Not destructive." And Mom commented to him on that, "Are you going to remember that?" Edelweiss wrote, "I remember when Cornelius was just a baby and how we took turns holding him. Mama told us to be very gentle with him." Hiram wrote, "When someone is hurt or weak, do this." And Cornelius said after the 5 minutes, "I forgot what the word was." During this meditation, I had several thoughts as well, but the one I want to share with you has to do with naps. And it has to do with when Cornelius took regular naps, and I found a very good and helpful analogy that I'd like to share with you this evening. When Cornelius would take naps, he would be woken up by one of his siblings in one of two ways. The first was to barge into the room, flinging the door open and flipping on the lights and yelling at the top of his voice, "Cornelius, nap time is over. It's time to wake up." You can imagine how Cornelius responded to that. It was sometimes a howl, a shriek, surprise, and he was usually very grumpy. The other way, when the sibling tasked with this had a little bit more care, a little bit more love, a little bit more patience, came into the room quietly, opening the door as softly as possible, and making their way through the room, and getting to the side of his bed, and giving him a little shake, and some soft words said, "Hey, it's time to get up." He usually would kind of look up at you, not really wanting to get up yet, especially after a good nap. So we would leave the room, just leave the door open and let the light in from the hallway. Light was usually enough to keep him awake, and eventually he would come out on his own. And I think some of you might be able to see where this applies spiritually. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, it reads, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." In the setting of the nap, we see both sides, and we know that the proverb holds true. And of course it does. It's in the Word of God. When Cornelius was woken up harshly, he was angry. And when he was woken up softly, he was not. James chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom." It is wise to wake a child gently. And if we take the illustration of the nap and apply it to spreading the gospel, isn't that how we have success? We approach the lost soul slumbering in sin with gentleness, and we wake them with the good news. And we plant that seed in their life. And we leave the door open to let the light in, and when they're ready, they'll come to it. So how do we be gentle? As I mentioned earlier, gentleness without love, kindness, patience, self-control, and peace does not work. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." If you need help learning gentleness, look no further than the greatest teacher. Take his yoke upon you and learn from him, for he is gentle and humble in heart. Gentleness comes from the heart, as do the rest of this fruit of the Spirit. So why is gentleness a part of the fruit of the Spirit? Gentleness goes hand in hand with other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. It complements them and it amplifies their effectiveness. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, famously the love chapter, Paul says, in regards to speaking with tongues, I'll just read it. That would be better. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That same concept applies to gentleness, and it applies to all of the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Though I am gentle, but have not love. Though I am patient, but have not love. Put any of those words in there. I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That's why love is the greatest. When we think about the life of Jesus, Jesus was gentle. He was always gentle. He was gentle when he addressed the multitudes. He was gentle when he addressed the Pharisees and Sadducees every time they tested him. He was gentle even to the mobs that wanted him dead. He was gentle to the thief who was crucified next to him. In our lives, there is never a time to abandon gentleness, especially when talking to our fellow man. Jesus had love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, but as much as he had these, he was gentle. To echo what my brother Silas said, gentleness is a good way to approach things in life. In fact, it's a great way. Whatever you do, whether it is waking a child or spreading the gospel, be gentle. I'll leave you with Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone.